is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Heads with Naughty is brought to you by Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, ESC Distributors Limited, Fine Threads, First Caribbean Bank, Fun Foods Wholesale, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, Kelly's Home Center, KFC, the National Insurance Board, the National Youth Guard, Naughty Johnny's, Percy's Island Games, and Tropical Gyros.
Certain people not like me. Everyone got a spaghetti thing now. Makes true me, I do it like Nike. But me not fear no guy, you know.
The Tuesday, May 7th edition of Talking Heads is on and popping. And like the old people say, but I got to have patience. Not patience, but I got to have patience. Mr. Producer, I can let you slide with that one today. Your boy Naughty in your company right up until 6 p.m. It is the Tuesday edition of Talking Heads. You know, we talk all things Grand Bahama. Awesome supplement each and every Tuesday in The Guardian, courtesy of the Grand Bahama News. Lots to talk about in Grand Bahama. And, of course, today is May 7th. It is the day after the big May 6th dinner meeting with the Chamber of Commerce in Grand Bahama. Our Prime Minister was there. 11-page speech. I know questions will be answered, so we're going to find out how many questions were answered. Were the pertinent ones answered? Did people get to voice their opinion as far as the licensees and the shareholders go? So we'll see. We'll talk all of that coming up on the flip side of the break. All right, and you know how to chime in. In New Providence, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Toll-free in any one of the family islands, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. Text lines powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. Stream us live, take us wherever you want to go, GuardianTalkRadio.com. That's GuardianTalkRadio.com. Cable channel 969, BTC Flow channel 612. That's how you get it in. That's how you get it on for fresh news, smart talk all day. Right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Quick break. Flip side of the break, we'll be going to Grand Bahama Live. Sarah Kirkby from the Grand Bahama News. And, of course, Darren Cooper will chime in. My regular weekly Tuesday contributors are in the building. We got lots to talk about. We might even stretch this bad boy over. On flip side of the break, as the Tuesday, May 7th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
No matter how hard they must fight me, me just a go and do me thing now. Me just a do it like Nike. Me just a do it like Nike. Me just a do it like Nike. Me just a do it like Nike.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org/Caribbean.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Cheetah Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your cheetah sandwich now at KFCNassau.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant today. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
Make Mother's Day one to remember, valued at $300, courtesy of Haagen-Dazs and Fun Foods Wholesale. It's simple. Just head over to Lickety Split or Super Value locations and purchase a pint of your favorite Haagen-Dazs ice cream for just $8.99. After purchasing, don't forget to write your full name and number on the back of your receipt and drop it into any entry box at the store. You're now in the running for our grand prize drawing, taking place on May 10th. Hurry, this offer ends soon. Happy Mother's Day from Haagen-Dazs. Promotion ends May 8th.
Nice to meet you, Jazz. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm an independent 27-year-old manager who wants her own home with her own rules.
Sounds good. I'll help you get there.
We see you, the go-getter, with big plans, and we've been keeping you in mind. Follow your goal home with a mortgage from CIBC Caribbean, and don't bother about your home insurance, as we'll help with that and more. Visit CIBCFCIB.com/inspired home for more info. Conditions apply.
Hear what boss man was saying in the back there just now.
About what? The luncheon?
Why are you always worried about food? No. About how we gotta pay a little more for the luncheon.
Talking food. I can't afford to pay that.
And you're always crying palm out. Ain't gonna be much. Boss still gotta pay. First of July 2024.
I think that terminal benefit is what did help my boy Tony through the pandemic. Oh. That same unemployment benefit. And guess what?
What?
Susan, I think she'd get a pregnancy benefit, eh?
You mean maternity benefit, eh? So now, we gotta do our part to make sure we get our pension. All right.
For more information, visit NIPRateIncrease.com.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
They say it's a new and a change for all, but I hear some people were, you never shine at all.
These rows of flames are catching a fire.
The Tuesday, May 7th edition of Talking Heads continues right now. Let's go down to Grand Bahama. We got Sarah Kirkby from the Grand Bahama News and, of course, Darren Cooper checking in. What's happening, folks? Good to see you and good to hear from you. It's another Tuesday. Glad you're here. And it's May 7th, so I know we got lots to talk about.
I thought you were going to tell me May 7th was a special occasion then. I was like, what did I miss?
Well, it's the day after. We talked about it for 2 weeks when we got an announcement. We knew it was coming.
We knew it was coming. Yes, it was a very interesting night, and I want Darren to get and I to have full story and tell you about it. So if you don't mind, I'm going to rush through.
I was going to tell you, yeah, just do the Polly and the thing fast, and then boom, let's get into the elephant in the room.
Okay. One of the stories that is part of the elephant in the room, it will also be the power company, which is our lead story about the implications of a new bill saying that the GBPA is no longer the regulator of the power company, and that a surprise to everybody at the time wasn't discussed. It's an ongoing battle, and I believe it was already finalized. So it's something that we can discuss and was brought up again as part of what's going on with the government and the Port Authority. So that story's in there.
But according to the Prime Minister, that's nothing. That should be nothing new to you, Ground Bahamians, that ERCA was going to be regulating that.
But as far as we know, they don't. It's under the Port Authority. So it's contention there. So we've got one person saying one thing and one person saying another. So I think that's I think multiple administrations have had an issue with that. So that's one story. They had the business expo. It was a tourism business expo. I think what it was basically, it was like encouraging people to look at adding different things to their tourism experience or to join as an entrepreneur, to look into doing things that are coming online because of all this business that we should be getting soon through Carnival with the added ships that are already coming our way and looking for additional tour related services. So that's what a lot of this was about, but there was also banks there and tourism was there, customs was there, all to help facilitate entrepreneurs and to look into multiple businesses. There were some really cool kiosks showing these fun things that you could get for water sports activities for people that are coming to visit. And it was great. So hats off to the Port Authority for that. It was very well attended. And it was nice to see such a big event on the island. And then we went into a story about some roadworks that are going on, which is great for the island. You know, we have pretty good roads, but they like to maintain them, which is super news. So that's coming on. So that'll give everybody ideas about where that will be. So just to remind them, we also unfortunately did a story. We still have no news on the airport. We have been trying, as been requested on by the radio listeners and by everyone else who writes into us on the airport. We have been given no updates. We have tried and reached out to everybody within that scene, and there was just an update that yesterday, last night, that it was happening, but no details, dates, or anything like that, or what we're building. So
has the debris been cleared? Has all the debris been removed from the site, or?
We don't know. We don't know where it's at. We don't know how long it's taking. We are not getting any information on that. So I do apologize, but we just wanted to let everyone know is where it's at the moment. We're waiting for more news. So, and then we have the solar energy on Monday of last week, and it was well attended. This is going to make 5 megawatts of power to go into our system. It is the first solar energy field in the country, I believe in the country. I could be wrong. No, I could be wrong about that. That could be wrong. Maybe in Grand Bahama. Sorry, I got that wrong. And then there's a second field that's going to be opening in about a month's time as well. So again, you know, using solar to help generate our future, getting less reliant on fossil fuels, which I think is really key. It was a really well done opening. Lots of speeches by lots of people, but we've hopefully given you a nice synopsis of what it's all about. And I would encourage everybody to read that as well as all the news going on. And then to the bigger story, which we were able to take pictures for the paper last night, and the Guardian did cover the story. And now you can get locals' opinions on how they felt it went. Off we go.
There we go. And we got Darren as well too, right?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's going on, Darren? Well, thank you, Sarah. And Darren, well, let us know what's going on, man. First of all, you good?
It's been a long day, tired, but I'm here.
I saw you doing your thing from early, getting everybody up to snuff and getting the word out as to exactly what went down yesterday. Much fanfare, there was much pomp and circumstance, you know, announcements for 2 weeks out that May 6th was going to be the date, Monday in Grand Bahama, Chamber of Commerce, dinner meeting with the Prime Minister, and questions would be answered. Where are we today?
I went into the meeting.
And it's $75 a pop per ticket, by the way. Okay, now.
I went into the meeting with the understanding that we were required by the 3rd of March to submit questions to a identified email by the chamber for our questions to be submitted. And
March 3rd, or is that May 3rd? I just want to make sure.
May 3rd.
You had to have all of them in, yeah.
You had to add all of your questions in if they were going to be a part of the questions. I was told, Darren, you're wasting your time, but I was not going to let the opportunity pass by me not submitting any questions. I was not going to run the risk. So I submitted my questions like I was encouraged to do. And I was really hopeful that if it wasn't my question, or I was expecting the chamber to sort of bulk these questions, go through them, and to see what could have been bulked and what was basically asking the same thing. To my surprise, that did not happen. I was told by a reliable source that there was 10 questions sent to the office of the Prime Minister, and 4 of which were selected by his office.
Quick question. Now, only 10 questions were sent out of all the licensees in Grand Bahama. Only 10 questions came up?
Only 10. I don't know the selection.
Only 10 were submitted to the office of the PM. Doesn't mean that's how many. I know people submitted quite a lot of questions.
No. Yes, there was... But the chamber, from my understanding,
the chamber only chose 10.
Selected 10.
They deemed 10 worthy enough to be asked.
I don't know. But the 10 were submitted and only 4 was allowed to be asked, and they were selected by OPM's office. Were they selected by the Prime Minister or they were selected by Latrey? I don't know, but only 4. One of the questions the Prime Minister had to ask him to repeat it must be 2 times or 3 times because it didn't even make sense the way it was asked to him. So, you know, I was disappointed. And whilst many large many of persons who wish for Darren to spend and waste my time and wanting to say hello to them. I refuse to do so. But for me, I was disappointed because if you were going to select that needed to be asked, I would have thought that it would have been the real questions that the Prime Minister said nothing naughty new to me last night. What the Prime Minister did, what he did, and those PLP trolls and those who thought they knew something should go back and listen to the 27-minute message. He only solidified what we were saying a long time, that the bill or the 357 is based on the government, on the shortfall of the government. We knew that. We knew that the port wasn't doing certain things. We knew of the challenges in our city. We knew that. But let me say this and put this on the record. See, because while some of those PLP trolls want to open their spitty mouths and say certain things, you have to know some things before you speak. I sat on Revitalized Grand Bahama's board. And that board comprised of other business owners in the city. We, the Revitalized Board, which was formed by Sarah St. George, it was some 40-something of us that broke out in group sessions. We then compiled a document. Now, this document was put together under the Minister's administration. I sat in a meeting with the 40-something of us, along with the then Member of Parliament for Marco City, Michael Pintard, the Senator Honorable Crazy Thompson, Member of Parliament for Central Women, for 8 Mile West End of Bimini, for Keisha Parker, and Kate Peter Turnquest for East Grand Bahama. I was on that Zoom call that was had. We made suggestions to the Grand Bahama Port Authority, I mean, to the government of the Bahamas, as relates to certain things that needs to happen in the city in order for the city, we believe, to be able to grow and take off. We suggested a bylaw amendment for the removal of derelict buildings and the control of some buildings. So the Prime Minister saying what he said, ain't no surprise to us because we made these suggestions as a board on what we believe. So you can't say the city is this, the city is that. When the truth be told, you got the people by the, you know what?
The short and curlies. I said by the short and curlies.
Correct. And so that's where we are. So I didn't get anything new from the meeting. Yes, the Prime Minister, I guess, you know, felt the need to be firm, stern, and I guess say whatever he wanted to say. But he failed, Naughty, to get in a room where some 200 plus licensees.
And how for ages now that he has not responded to?
He said he has an open door policy. Even though he said last that he has an open door policy, he's failed to date to acknowledge letters written by the licensees or the license association requesting a meeting with him, saying that he have open door policy.
So
he also came last night in peace. He didn't come. He didn't come to fight. He came in peace.
So
and he also he never. These are the words of the Prime Minister. He never attacked the Port Authority publicly. But he was the Prime Minister when he came from Dubai and visited Grand Bahama. He was the Prime Minister that said the investor confidence in Grand Bahama is on the all-time low. Several months thereafter, and he's a public knowledge that you go and fill him up yourself, that he also said whilst in the House of Assembly, on the records of the House of Assembly, that he is going to deal with the Grand Bahama Port Authority. The Prime Minister in his speech last evening, we strongly believe that he misled us on certain points. We strongly believe that he misled the licensees on certain comments. And I know a little more that I'm not allowed to say, but I will say this.
Because I was just about to ask you to allude to it, but that's fine.
He misled us.
Yeah, you know you want him to.
Yeah. But the truth be told, Darren Cooper, when I left, While sitting down at the meeting and listening to the Prime Minister, I said, okay, then, you know, I would absorb the speech, but I'm going to wait for the questions because that will be able to help us get to. I was also during that meeting It was also reinforced to me at that meeting that, Darren, don't worry. Your questions are going to be asked. I was at the meeting because I was adamant about making sure that the questions were asked. I don't know what the real deal was for rushing the meeting or rushing the questioning process, as if the prime minister had a flight to get.
My thing is this, though, why announce it? Why charge $75 and bill it as an event that you're going to actually be able to present questions to the prime minister? He's going to field them. I thought there would have been some sort of open mic stand for you to be there, present your question, next person move up, present your question. I mean, I don't see why only 10 questions were submitted.
10 questions submitted, 4 asked. And for the PLP, it's, oh, the prime minister nailed it. Nailed what? What did he nail? What did he nail? He continues to say to us, as the stakeholders, and then in your meeting, you then say that nothing can be done with order.
One second.
In your speech.
Let me deal with this texter real quick. Hi, Naughty. Actually, Naughty is spelled N-A-U-G-H-T-Y, texter. Let's get that one straight, all right? What a mix-up. A person on the earlier show said 12 questions were given and only 5 were answered. Well, you know, earlier show, which earlier show was that? So they could get their facts straight. Because I'm dealing with 2 persons who are actually in attendance. And the last time I checked, they could count. So I'm going to go with my regular contributors who contribute every week on this show who are actually there. All right, when it comes out of Grand Bahama, I kind of rely on the Grand Bahama News and, you know, the opinions of folks who are down there in the business community, such as Darren Cooper, who have their finger on the pulse. So I'm going to go with 10 questions and 4 were answered. So Naughty. I do have my facts in order, Texas. And Naughty, only FNMs you entertain on your show? No, the PLP need to grow up here, get some backbone and bollocks and come on the show. Tell them stop being scared. My door is open all the time, 25. They just need to come on down, Texas. So if you seem like you're in the know, spread the word. Tell them I would love to talk to anybody from this administration. Please. Go ahead, Darren.
In response to the text, all right? So here is Office of the Prime Minister, unauthorized by from what I've been advised, carried a meeting that people was told to pay to be a part of, but carried it live on the Office of the Prime Minister page, right? As voice. Why didn't, saying that they were so interested in the information being open in public, why didn't they carry the question and answering period live? Why didn't they carry that portion live? For them to hear, when one of the questions that were asked about the government taking owner or taking over the ownership, if the government takes ownership of the Grand Bahama Port Authority, could we see growth, continuous growth in the city? And then they alluded to West End and Bimini, I mean West End and East Grand, West Grand Bahama and East Grand Bahama, more or less, because there's no growth there. The Prime Minister's response, he doesn't see anything wrong with them. Then he probably caught himself and he said, the islands of the Bahamas, no, we talk about Grand Bahama. The question was asked by a Grand Bahamian for Grand Bahama. And if you're saying that you could do better than the port, it's really not showing in your behavior. It's not. What I expected, knowing that we were concerned about the bill, again, how did we arrive to 357, is a question that we wanted some answers to. The Prime Minister said, like we've been telling your listeners time and time again, that the government and the port with the agreement, the port's responsibility is to meet government shortfalls. And the shortfall meaning that if the government expenditure is not collected in taxes, then they are obligated to sink. The Prime Minister said he met with the Grand Bahama Port Authority. He said that. He said he met with the Grand Bahama Port Authority. And he told them that we are now going to enforce or implement or what's the word you use, Sarah? I think it was reinforced or some of the sort. The agreement of clause 151C of the reimbursement.
Yeah.
That's what the meeting was. That's what he said that the meeting was. But I would like to ask the Prime Minister, was that really the question? And let the record reflect. It was the deputy prime minister first who came to meet with the stakeholder, with the shareholder. You understand? But Naughty, I will say this, and I'm prepared for whatever backlash that comes from it. I believe strongly, even now more so than ever before, that there's a gentleman in Grand Bahama that has his hands on what is really going on with government and the Port Authority. I've mentioned his name in my live earlier. I would say God Guardian, but I mentioned his name. And I would hope and I would pray that he would have some legal actions taken against me, because then I'm prepared also to deal with him.
All right, let's go to the phone lines real quick, Don. And yeah, thank you for that. Talking Heads.
You know, they're doing good.
Yeah, what's happening?
Hey, Don, the guest. Look good, bud. That was all a setup, man. Everything coming out of that last night thing is the prime minister said he's doubling down on the Port Authority. You understand? All y'all pay $75 to go there for impromptu message to the Port Authority. He ain't come there. I'm from Freeport, but he ain't come there to answer no questions. He ain't come there to resolve no issues. But all he come there to do is say what he had to say, and that was it. That's why they had to tell. You understand? A publicity stunt, man. You understand? And people tired of this foolishness now, man. You understand? Answer the questions and let us know what you can do for Grand Bahama. You understand? Because in the next 2 years, you won't be there anyway. The same man who right there now, who cares about Grand Bahama, will be the prime minister of this country. Hey, go on.
All right, let me get this next text in, and we'll get to the next call. Naughty, your previous text has to be one of those spitty mouth PLP trolls that Darren refers to. Whether it was 10, 50, or 100 questions, not all the questions were asked, but the ones that were cherry-picked by the OPM, those were the ones that were picked to be answered. So, yeah, I think everybody sees through for what it is. The chamber meeting is a normal part of their monthly process and not a meeting called for a meeting with the PM. The cost was $75 members and $100 for non-members. Please let's not make the meeting become a misinformation insert. The chamber meeting...
Wait a second. The meeting was not a regular scheduled meeting. This was our regular scheduled meetings are lunch meetings. They're held at Pelican Bay, and they aren't this much. This was totally different, and it was a request, I believe, because the chamber president had been asking for him to come and speak, and this was his final agreement to come and do it. And so this is why this was set up as a special event, just for that. And you didn't have to be a licensee to attend.
The fact that you're going to actually advertise for 2 weeks and talk about questions going to be fielded, and only four were actually fielded, this whole thing was based on misinformation from the break on Texter. So I don't know, you know, and it's clear. And I'm sad to say it, but we've seen our prime minister misspeak on several occasions in the House. So you got to double check. You can't be too sure. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads.
How you doing?
What's going on?
Wait a minute, you got the show, you're on top of things. But guess what? I listened to Morning Blend this morning, Dwight Strawn, and Miss Gardner, the lady from Freeport, I think Miss Gardner, was co-host with Dwight on Thursday.
Okay.
She was out, and you know she was keeping records. She said 12 questions was...
Caller, let me just get this to the crux. Whether it was 12, whether it was 10, it is a disgrace. It is a disgrace that was done that way.
As Gardner said, it was 12 questions asked and only 5 was answered.
Well, guess what? You go with my crew.
On Thursday.
And that's fine, but I can go with my crew.
Yeah, well, let's keep in check.
Well, whoever you go with,
she's a regular. Miss Gardner's a regular. Every day, Simon or some other, she come on one and then Dwight.
And hold on. And I'm not going to let you. Hold on, but I'm not going to let you berate my regular Tuesday
participants. No, I'm not berating nothing, Dwight.
Well, it sounds like you did, so let's just rein it back in. I hear my point. Whether it's 12 that you're insisting on or 10 that I'm going with, 4 were only answered or 5 was only answered. Right. That is disgraceful. That is what I call piss poor. It's horrible.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So that's what you're missing.
What I'm saying, Naughty, why you couldn't answer the 12 questions?
That's the point. Why you couldn't answer all the questions?
Answer all the questions.
So the people might be more tell what's going on. That's what I'm saying.
All right, let's get to the next call. Talking Heads.
Naughty.
Yeah, Talking Heads. All right, hold the call. Let's let Darren make his point.
You know, I get you, and you know, I don't know why we're debating the whole how much questions are asked, how much questions submitted. My thing is, I wasn't interested in going to this meeting because I was interested in the meeting, but I got disinterested in the meeting, especially when my questions had to been pre-submitted, because then I knew then, like another business owner said, meeting, that then became a session where I'm being talked to and not talked with. Right? That's what the meeting was. The Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas works for the people of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, for Bahamians and for whomever. I'm a Grand Bahamian, born here. Okay? I'm a licensee of the Grand Bahama Port Authority for some 13 some years. The Prime Minister, is his job to facilitate. Don't tell me in one breath you got an open door policy and in the other behavior, I can't get an audience with you. Okay? So whether it was 12 questions, I have the document that says 10 questions were submitted to the office of the Prime Minister, 4 of which he sent back to ask for. The information was sent to the Prime Minister office. He then selected, which for me right then, if I knew that prior to this, I was going to cash in my chamber ticket. I didn't know this prior. And I'm wondering now, it now makes plenty sense because plenty chamber members, other business owners, wanted to make sure that I was at my best behavior. I'm not a disrespectful, rude person. I went to a meeting. I was not going to blast out, or I wasn't going to. I went to hear what was being said. And last night was a perfect opportunity for an open forum that people could have gotten. At the PLP meeting that he had for the PLP, he called them his family. They had an open floor mic. I have the recording where PLPs got up and asked or made their comments. Why am I being treated different? At his 4 o'clock meeting, he had a boardroom table sitting with his hierarchy PLPs, and they had an opportunity to talk back and forth with him. Why wasn't I given that same opportunity? Whether I pay 75 or I didn't pay, I'm not caught up on the 75. I am caught up on what I was not allowed to do as a licensee. And then you will come tell me you care. You don't. Because I guess you was too busy rushing the chamber meeting so you could go across by Blues to have a few cocktails. Because that's where you're going after the meeting. If you so care about me, why don't you stay around to hear my questions? On. So for the PLP trolls that want to keep your narrative, your business, I can tell you one thing. You don't listen, you'll feel. And the people of the Bahamas will make sure you know that they matter. You.
All right, let me get these couple of texts in. We got a couple of calls to get to. Naughty, this one, I was watching the PM's address to the Grand Bahama Commerce Chamber of Commerce about the GBA on the live stream and was disappointed that we could not see the question and answer period. The questions were pre-approved, by the way. The irony of this was the PM was to demonstrate transparency about the Grand Bahama Port Authority, and yet it took him all this time to meet with the chamber and say this. Well, let's hope it's enough for the licensees because people are tired of the games. And we got another one right here. Naughty, can you find out from your guests, did the government request the money be charged or did the chamber charge it? It clouds the discussion. They need not add or take away from the occurrence. Well, the occurrence, in my opinion, that the Prime Minister was there long overdue and only answered 4 questions when more than 4 questions needed to be answered. Whoever charged and whoever charged, whether the chamber or the government, if I paid that, I didn't get my money's worth because my questions wasn't answered. So I got issue with that.
Naughty, you know, the chamber doesn't have a big facility to hold up to 200 plus persons, licensees. And I'm not a chamber member, but it got to make sense. So here at the Chamber of Commerce, who we've seen time and time again, they're calling for a meeting with the Prime Minister. He now agrees. The chamber has to find the next available facility to be able to give that opportunity to other licensees, and you just can't handpick them. So they would have had to have made arrangements with a facility that could have, one, be able to carry this meeting. And if you're calling a 6 o'clock meeting, that's a lot of person's dinner time. So let's have a dinner meeting. I'm not caught up. No, the money was not a government paid. We paid the government. It was paid to the chamber. You booked online to the chamber, which I've done many chamber meetings. You book online and you pay and all that stuff. I think those who wanted to hear what the prime minister say paid that $75 to have their dinner time and to also be able to get first-hand information. I don't fault or knock the chamber for that. They did their part in making sure, and guess what? Separate and apart from the way we feel, it was a well-organized meeting. It was well-organized. It was not long and drawn out. Wasn't a bunch of rhetoric. It was to the point. Welcome, national anthem prayer, welcome address, the president.
So the formalities was well taken care of. Let's get to the phone.
And I can answer that. It was organized by the chamber there. It was basically ordered to rent that room and to have the space. And for the time that the prime minister could come in, that was what was offered. The chamber has made no money off this event whatsoever. And this money did not go to the government. It literally went to the hotel, which is owned by the government. But it was because you had to use that facility. And the facility looked lovely. It was a beautiful room, well set up. I won't go into the parking because I got a bit frustrated on that. But they facilitated the larger room we needed for it. And the event was well attended. It was sold out completely.
All right, we got three calls. We got to make them quick. Let's try to get these in. Obviously, we can't go over it.
I do want to say something. I do want to say on a very positive note that I was very pleased that the PM addressed us. I was very pleased that he acknowledged the Freeport Licensees Association, who have been asking to meet with him, and we haven't, and I'm sure we will keep asking because a lot of things weren't resolved. I wasn't very happy with the contentious way it was taken. I am hopeful because I want investors to come here. I still don't believe that what's going on is helping us in any way. I think it needs to be resolved. But I was very, very pleased that the good Prime Minister said that the licensees are a 4/5 part of the decision of anything that will happen with the Hawksbill Creek Agreement. He has acknowledged that, and I am very pleased about that. He did, unfortunately, say some old facts in his speech that have licensees and the numbers and things like that, which I found were a bit not correct, and I think they need to be sorted out. But I was very pleased that he acknowledged us. I do think some of the credit was taken for things that did not happen by the government. But I do believe still that this has to go on further, but the government and this rhetoric with the Port Authority has to stop. It has to end, and we need them to get along and sort this out so we move forward. I don't believe it was explained to us what this money was owed for. It was not clearly defined. The Prime Minister said he was not an accountant, and everyone would like to see what the bill entails. We are still not sure about it. There was a very good question that was also asked. What would the government do with the $210 million, if it supposedly was, how much we pay into the Treasury every year? Where would that be spent? And that was not answered, which was a bit disappointed. I would like to know what money the government is putting back into the island as well, because right now we just see most of it going out into the Treasury for general purposes. So those things I was very unclear on. Some of the acknowledgments were very good. I still think we have a long way to go, and I don't think everything was addressed, and I do think it was very contentious.
All right, let's get to these calls real quick. Talking Heads. Talking Heads. Talking Heads.
Hey, Naughty. How you doing?
What's happening? You got to make it quick because we're getting ready to go to the news. Or you want to call me back after the news?
No, I got to call you by the phone now.
Yeah, but make it quick.
What time am I meeting out?
What time the meeting out what?
Yesterday, they had.
Darn, what time did the meeting finish yesterday?
About 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock in the night?
Yes, it was at 6 o'clock. And then there was the Prime Minister spoke straight away, but then there was a break. Then there was meal. Then there were the questions. Then there were a couple of, other speeches. The president of the chamber addressed us and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, the spoiler can fill, you know what I mean? Like, fly out and then, you know, around that kind of time. I wonder if Aunt Marie was there with him.
Anyway, caller, anyhow, let's get to the next course. Talking Heads.
Hello?
Yeah, Talking Heads.
Naughty, what's happening, man?
Hey, GNM, what's good, man? Make it quick, because we got to get to the break.
Naughty, how long is your guests and them been behaving, man? How long they been behaving, man?
They on the phone, you could ask them yourself.
All their life, right? What they expect when we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again for 51 years? What do they expect, Naughty? What they expect, America? Come on, my baby. That's all I would call this, man, because it's making me sick to my stomach, man. Thanks.
Last one in. Talking Heads. Talking Heads. All right, I got a couple of questions for you. Can you guys go?
Naughty, why was he sick to his stomach? Because he feels like nothing was resolved, or because we're still talking about the same subject?
No, we keep repeating the process.
I want to clarify that.
After 50 years, we're still talking about the same things. That we haven't matured politically. We still keep electing the same persons and individuals to repeatedly do the Bahamian citizenry the way they do them once they become members of parliament. So he's basically saying we the conk, and the conk need to take the baton and start swinging back. That's basically what his cry was. All right, let's go over real quick. If you guys could go over a couple of minutes into 5 o'clock, we'll take the break now. We'll do the news, and we'll wrap up with you guys because I got several questions off the text line I want to get to you, and we can get it in. All right, so that's what we'll do. We'll take a quick break, flip side of the break. We'll wrap things up in Grand Bahama. Appreciate you, Sarah. Appreciate you, Darren. Got about 3 or 4 more questions to deal with that are pertinent. So I think we need to, you know, get as much on this as we can today. So I appreciate your time. Keep it right where you got it. We'll be right back after the news.
These rows of flames are catching a fire.
More out to you. Don't mind if you get cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you
play Island Games,
we put in Bahamian spice, guaranteed to pay.
Island Games,
we like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games,
we gonna make your dreams come true.
We playing with Island Games.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
This is the afternoon update on the Guardian News Network. Hello, everyone. I'm Vonnie Tude. Thanks for tuning in. Here's a look at the stories we're working on at this hour. Police are investigating the discovery of a fetus.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man. It's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Cheetah Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your pizza sandwich now at KFCNassau.com. Hey, it's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Flames are catching a fire. Ah. Showed you how to do, you called me a liar. Oh no, 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 no. Baby, tell me where you gone, gone, gone. I've been feeling fair.
We're back at you on the Tuesday, May 7th edition of Talking Heads. Wrapping things up with our Grand Bahama Report. Sarah Kirkby from the Grand Bahama News and Darren Cooper. Every week they're on the show. I appreciate them for being here. And obviously we're wrapping up yesterday. We got a call. Let's take this call, get it out the way. Then I got a couple of questions for you guys. Talking Heads.
Yes, how you doing? How you doing to Sarah, Darren, and to you, Naughty? See,
what's going on, C. Allen?
That much, man. I didn't attend the meeting, but I'm going to start talking with this soon, though, because I think what we are doing is beginning to become convoluted and conflated with multiple issues being combined into one. I think the Prime Minister owes it to not just the licensees, but to the residents of Grand Bahama to have a conversation with us concerning what's going on. In the same capacity, I think that we have an expectation from the Grand Bahama Port Authority to also do the same thing. Primarily, we need to separate the demand letter from the government from the demands we are making, which have become separate demands we're making on both of them. And what I mean by that, the government made a demand letter to the Grand Bahama Port Authority. The Port Authority has denied that it owes any of these different things. They're moving to arbitration. I think both of them, if they want us to know, I think they should vote on, for the sake of transparency and accountability, come to us and let's make it a public affair. But I think it's incumbent upon both of them. In the same way, whoever it is, you know, one side say this one let the demand letter go, they could just put everything in the public domain, both the Port Authority and the government. And so I think the Port Authority itself could be agreed to make the demand that this becomes a public document. But the greater problem that we have is what brought about this money owing, and no one seems to want to talk about that. And that's the failure of the economic development of Grand Bahama. I know it's something that I've advocated for over two decades, and the failure to grow the economy. Understand this is very important to take this away from this demand, is that if the argument is being made that the government is not generating the revenue that's needed, it's less than the threshold that's been set due to the economics of Grand Bahama or Freeport, then we need to have a conversation as to why the economy is not growing from the perspective of the Grand Bahama Port Authority as well as government. Even the Grand Bahama Port Authority has made a number of demands over the years. They've made those demands to the government. They have not made them with us, even though they said they've made them on behalf of us. In the same way, the government has made some also demands, that's going back even before this administration, concerning the Port Authority non-participation. And so it's been going back and forth. And I think they're both playing us in that respect. because one doesn't need the other to come to the people or to the licensees. Because understand this, yes, it has an obligation to the licensees, the Grand Bahama Port Authority, but this agreement, the Hawkesbury Creek Agreement, is an agreement with the citizens of the Bahamas, not just for Grand Bahama, but for the entire Bahamas. I've been an advocate who's been screaming that we challenge any economist, anyone, to show where economic growth could happen in the Bahamas without Grand Bahama. There's no place left to squeeze any more juice except for Grand Bahama for the economic development. So the question on the table is, let them vote consensusly. I think, Darren, the Grand Bahama Port Authority would have more demand, demanding that this be made in the public demand than we could ever do, because they have the ability to make it public themselves. But that is very small compared to the economic future of Grand Bahama and the Bahamas, Freeport, Grand Bahama, and the Bahamas. And I think the Grand Bahama Port Authority has failed drastically in addressing that issue. I think the government has failed drastically for addressing that issue. And we need to hold both of them individually and collectively responsible as to why the most prepared place in this sector, in this region, and the most digitally prepared place in the world has not grown, has not taken off. What is it? And I think the collective intelligence of all of us, because the five-year celebrities, as I have defined them, cannot be the collective intelligence of all of us. They're supposed to represent the collective intelligence of all of us. And so we have to now begin to, which then means that the GBPA, who act as a form of governance, also must be held to that same standard. So I think if we want to grow as a country, not just for Grand Bahamians, but I think all Bahamians across the Bahamas, and I challenge anyone out there, Grand Bahama is the only thing we have left for growth in the new dispensation of, we could use other islands, but Grand Bahama is the most prepared place on day one for this revolution we need. Because I don't know if you know the difference between evolution and revolution. Evolution is a slow process. We've waited so long, 2+ decades, we now need a revolution, drastic, rapid change. And the global economy and the tools available to us allows that to happen. And I am one to believe that both the Grand Bahama Port Authority and the government is in our way. And let me end in saying this. Even when you look deeper at this conversation concerning the assets that people are saying the government want to take and everything else, those assets right now are separate and apart from the governance structure of the GBPA. And that within itself is what we have to look. What is the best governance structure going forward, where you have more individuals involved and less individuals who have interest in the assets for which we're going to govern? And so we need to bring this thing front and center and get real, because if there's an asset, it will not be by the GBPA, because in essence, the GBPA is a governance mandate, a contract for that. And I just simply say this, I hope that more so today than yesterday or even tomorrow, that we begin to have a conversation on the future of Grand Bahama and the Grand Bahama Port Authority in its proper context. Thank you so much.
All right, C. Allen, thanks so much. Darren and Sarah, you get to respond to any of that, or?
No, you can take the next. I mean, the Allen's comments are always valid in my view, and it's probably thought through. I don't have no objection or rebuttal to it.
All right, I got a couple for you off the text lines. Naughty, according to the PM, Grand Bahama is lagging behind Cat Island, Rumkey, and San Salvador, too. Did he really say that?
I don't remember him saying that.
Bemis, after countless hurricanes, let's take a trip to Cat Island, Rumkey, and San Salvador, and then go to Grand Bahama. Let's define lagging behind. Here's another one. Whoever, what? If the Grand Bahama Port Authority has responsibility over Freeport, why should they also take care of Grand Bahama as a whole when the government doesn't even manage Grand Bahama sensibly? Grand Bahama, you all ready for independence? If Abaco won't do it, you all should lead the way.
It's been said before. I think that was one of the questions that that was asked about was about East and West and keeping Freeport. I think that's one of the things that Darren and I want to address, is that, you know, we would have liked to have also heard a plan. What is the plan? Because that's what everyone's thinking, that it looks
like this is going to be a takeover.
And we want to know what the plan is. How will it run? Is it going to change? You worry as a licensee, you're used to one thing and you're trying to cope with it now. And like we said, we don't think the Port Authority's perfect. Nobody is saying here that they're perfect. There are things we everybody gets frustrated with, but what's our alternative? What is changing? What are they offering us? And, you know, things are not great in West and East End. They're struggling. They have no school in the East, though it says that one is coming now. There's one waiting to be opened in the West. It hasn't been opened. Their roads are not as nice as ours. Their power is generated through us, through Grand Bahama, through Freeport Power. So, you know, what is the plan?
I'm going back to the flyer that they had, broadcasting live at 8 p.m. And this is for the Chamber of Commerce, the Chamber of Commerce meeting. And it says, building the way forward together. His speech was not building the way forward together. That's what they have on OPM flyer with his face for last night's meeting. So he didn't come with a game plan. He didn't come to tell us the way forward. He didn't come to tell us how we plan to get where we're going. He didn't, not at all. So
let's get to the phone line.
I didn't even know it was going to be broadcast. I just happened to look.
Let's get this last one.
I thought it wasn't being broadcast.
Yeah, I know. It came out late, the announcement. Talking Heads.
Not late, yeah.
Hey, Naughty. Good afternoon.
Afternoon. What's happening?
Fine, thank you. Good afternoon to your guests. Listen, I have a question or two.
Afternoon.
One, did the Prime Minister truly compare West and East End to Freeport and said that he wants to bring the Freeport up to par with the West and East End? Was that one of the questions he answered for real?
No, the question was asked about the government. If the government takes over the Grand Bahama Port Authority, would BC, I guess, continues growth? And they reference, sorry, you can tell me how it meant, but they will reference the state of West Grand Bahama and the state of East Grand Bahama. And then they are in the city on Grand Bahama, they are the government areas that are undeveloped. One road in and one road out. No real infrastructure in those areas. And so they were basically trying to get him to see that y'all ain't in that mature area yet. But the Prime Minister, in his response, said he doesn't see anything wrong with those areas.
So question. Did anyone in the room was allowed to personally record him so that they would have recorded the question, period, so that at least the country would see what it is that he said? Because I heard, I think it was like 12 or 16 questions, and he answered like three, four, five, somewhere right thereabouts. And my curiosity is, who picked which question to ask? Because the questions that I heard this morning on Dwight's show that was asked of him, this that you guys talk about on Naughty Show every Tuesday, it didn't seem anywhere near it.
Mine weren't answered. Darren, were yours, any of yours submitted that you heard? I don't think yours were.
No, my own, I submitted two questions. And no answers.
I submitted five. I saw someone else who submitted five. I saw someone else who submitted another six. I don't believe any of those were asked. They were all sent to the Chamber of Commerce, to the person in charge. He supposedly submitted those. He said this at the event to what I remember, Darren, was what you said, that 10 of those of the questions that were like, all, let's say all 50 questions were put in, 10 were chosen, sent to the PM's office, and he agreed to answer four of them. He came up and answered them. I would think that the only people who would have recorded that would have been any of the media that were in the room, who would have had a tape recorder going at the time. And I don't actually know if that happens, but you know what? We can find out.
Yeah, and one more thing. My question is, when are you guys going to get back at least $65 of the $75 that you guys spent? Because it didn't seem like it was worth it. I know you said it was a nice place, the room was set up really nice, and yada, yada, yada. But when are you guys going to get your refund of $65? Because it sounds like you guys paid just to hear him make a speech, and that was the end of it. There was no interaction. So what was the purpose of the $75? You guys have to make noise for that, because, you know, Freeport is already in a thing now. License. Yeah, deal with that, please. That doesn't sound fair at all.
All right, good stuff, man. Good call, as always. All right, Darren, before you guys get out of here, all right? And I'll put it to you. I'll put this one to you. You got a microphone. It's an open mic stand. What's the one question that you really would have liked to ask last night had you been given the opportunity?
For me, I wanted to know, one of the questions I submitted was, could the governor of the Bahamas, the prime minister, the minister of finance, please make it clear on how we arrived at the 357, and could you give us a breakdown per year of the 5 years we are discussing?
All right. And Sarah, what would your question have been? We still got
apologies. I had a mute. Sorry. I'm looking at the questions I asked, and I want them all answered, but
can I only pick one, Sarah?
Right now? No, I can't pick one.
You're not shopping. Pick one.
Due to Grand Bahama's success of the island as a functioning international airport, with over a year delay and now no update on what is the reason the airport is being delayed, when I understand financing is available, I really want a conveyor belt to put all my shopping on. So I want that airport. I think it will make a big difference for us. I think it's needed. And that wasn't addressed. That was one of my questions. Sorry. Really want an airport.
Both of those are valid questions that I felt should have been answered on that floor yesterday.
And my last question, I only wrote two, was, can the prime minister recommit to a better dialogue with the business community of Grand Bahama? That was my only two questions. Very simple and very easy. Seeing that he has an open door policy and he came in peace.
Okay, now he gets two, so I get two.
All right, get your next one in.
Okay, the GBPA sells itself as a one-stop shop for investment. Why does government now place extra layers of red tape on investors seeming to delay the process? There's a lot of steps now that are new that weren't there before. And things get, as Darren has alluded to, we can get our licenses quite quickly. We have the land available. We have the space. And that's one of the things that really concerns me. But again, that's got to do with them getting along. And I think that really worries me, that delayed process. So that was my big question.
All right, good stuff, man. I wish they would have answered them for you. I thank you both for chiming in today, bringing a lot of clarity to this and a lot of context so we know exactly where we're at. And as you know, people are interested in what's going on in Grand Bahama, just as they are in New Providence and Abaco. And it seems to be the same mantra with this administration. Everybody's got the same issues. Everybody got the same one way or another. It's information not being disseminated properly. You're told to be quiet when you ask valid questions. You know, I mean, this at the end of the day, this administration and future administrations need to be reminded who they work for. And I
think
they're missing that point.
In our meeting that Darren alluded to, one of the ladies did a great job in her opening statement for our meeting and said that, you know, we vote on this and you work for us. She was very clear. Very brave when she said that. I thought that was great yesterday. But I also must thank the Nassau public for supporting us as well and wanting to understand this. You know, the fact is, and what you said, a lot of this stuff is coming out that's not clear about the Hawksbill Creek Agreement. And not everything was given yesterday. The Prime Minister did give a brief synopsis of things, but he missed quite a bit of things that I think we need to have clarified. And I hope that people do and speak to the media. I think that's up to the Port Authority as well to educate people properly on how everything works and what they've done. That's their responsibility to do that. But I want the Nassau public to understand that we want things to change. We don't think everything's perfect, but this is not the way forward, a contentious argument between these two bodies. And we want it resolved in a positive way to help our place grow. And we look like we're on the crest of it. It's like almost there with everything happening, and this does not help. It does not feel to me it helps. The Prime Minister did say he did not feel this would hurt investors, and the investors he had coming here were upset about it. I personally don't completely agree with that. I think it does hurt us for investors coming in.
All right. Don, you got anything else before we get out of here?
I'd like for us as Bahamians to stop playing this race card, because that's what that the Prime Minister started in that vein. You know, we know who we are, we know whose we are, we know where we came from, we will not erase that. But let's stop playing the race card. Let's own our stuff and let's work together for better Bahamas, and in particular, better Grand Bahamas, that all of us can continue to be proud of the accomplishment. I think the Prime Minister needs now to really take the advice of the licensees and come to the round table, and let's mitigate these issues and stop allowing one person to continue to, I guess, puppet them in trying to get their issues addressed or their personal vendetta dealt with. I am very still surprised that the Minister for Grand Bahama, the Honorable Ginger Moxie, who is a former employee of the Grand Bahama Port Authority, who has been a very strong supporter of what they've been doing over the years, have not yet to date said anything as relates to the whole overall saga of the port government saga.
That's like a whole nother show. But anyway, I got to get to the break. I do appreciate you guys chiming in. And thank you for, you know, paying the 75 and getting down there and being able to tell us exactly what transpired, and continue to agitate for Freeport, you know. And like I said, each and every Tuesday, we'll continue to get the stories that Freeport needs to get out on this platform.
Thank you.
All right, you guys be safe. Let's get to the break. Flip side of the break. Pearlie will be in the building. We'll be talking sports, and we'll be getting you hooked up on the flip side of the break. So keep it right where you got it. Be Tuesday, May 7th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Play with Island Games.
We making dreams come true.
Play with Island Games.
We paying more out to you. Don't mind the noise in the market. You getting cash in your pocket.
Cause Island Games is spicy, and spicy is tradition.
So when you play
Island Games,
we putting Bahamians first, guaranteed to pay.
Island Games.
We like them other jokers. We've been here from the start, from the bike to computer.
Island Games. We playing with Island Games.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Is it a burger?
No. Is it pizza?
Come on, man, it's KFC. Whatever the crunch this is, it's delicious. New, the Kentucky Cheetah Sandwich. Crispy chicken topped with marinara sauce, mozzarella, and pepperoni. Order your cheetah sandwich now at KFCNassau.com or at your favorite KFC restaurant today. It's new and it's radical. KFC, it's finger-licking good.
Maybe it's time to explore your options. There's no harm in reviewing your mortgage arrangement and considering a better deal. CIBC Caribbean can help you narrow your search and decide. Switch your mortgage to CIBC Caribbean and enjoy a special interest rate and help towards your switching cost. Visit cibcfcib.com/inspired home for more information. Conditions apply.
Back at you on the Monday, May 7th edition of Talking Heads. We got Pearlie in studio now. What's going on, Pearlie?
Hey, Ray, they're trying to steal the trouble.
Boy, what's your up, Dodgers winning some four straight. I just waited for it to come in last night. The parlay, the four teamer came in. Cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
He's called Otani.
Yeah, buddy. Listen, ain't nothing like seeing the Dodgers up 6-3 and just waiting for the innings to count down at Chavez Ravine. You know what I'm saying? It ain't nothing like that, man.
And, you know, Walker Buehler, who hasn't pitched for 2 years, made his debut. Yeah, he gave up 3 runs, but he settled down.
Why you think I took the Dodgers? I had a feeling he was going to come back and do well, but after them first 2 innings, he was lights out.
Yeah, he was lights out. He did well, and Yarbrough came in then and did some long relief. Vessia, who was out also for years back, he's looking good. And then Vessia closed it out, so I'm pretty happy.
I'm happy my parlay came in. That's what I care about. The fourth team was beautiful.
I'm happy for you too, bro. I'm happy for you.
One with the Knicks, one with the Knicks, and one with the Timberwolves too. And I told you, watch out for that Timberwolves team.
Yeah.
I liked them with the 7. I really thought last night they might have gone down.
Get tickets.
Man, Pretty, you need to, because you could be there while they're there, man.
I'm trying to get tickets, and I called one of my old college friends, and he says he can let me know. He's working on something, so we don't know. I'll probably be in Target Center. That's what it's called.
I believe so.
Lord have mercy.
Yeah, boy, look here. I ain't going to lie. But I was really impressed.
Minnesota is excited. They light right up over this.
Very good young team. They got a great fan base that supports them. But they played defense in the absence of Gobert last night, too. That whole team stepped up and played last night.
Yeah.
All right, we got a couple of calls.
So, they're happy. You know, they all probably godfathers. They all probably godfathers now.
Yeah, we got to do this kind of quick right now, too, because we got Rich Eisen, Colin Cowherd taking us home today, breaking down the Nuggets and the T-Wolves and the Knicks and the Pacers. I think that's going to be a really good series, too.
Yeah, that was a kind of controversial ending, but, you know.
It's still a good game, though. I like it. Excited.
Yeah.
Brunson was lights out.
Yeah, he was a baller.
Let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Yes, I'll be quick. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Both. What's going on in Denver? Are they have a hole, or are they leaking, or their ship, they rather look like it broke? What's going
on,
really?
When you play a team...
Please, I'll hang up and listen.
All right, Prophet. When you play a team that you've beaten 10 out of the last 11 games you played, you get a false measuring stick when you go into the next round.
And not only that, they have problems with big teams. So they had don't worry, them beat up on the Lakers 4-1, you know. They had a tough time with the Lakers. And Minnesota, that's a better team. They got a taller team. They stretch.
Minnesota got a lot of length.
That's what I wanted to say, a lot of length. So they have problems with teams with a lot of length. And so, like I said, don't fool yourself how they beat up on the Lakers. The Lakers gave them a tough time. And Minnesota is at more length, more athleticism. Better defense. So I looking for the Timberwolves to sweep them. They might win one.
Yeah, I'm looking at a 5-game series tops right now.
Yeah, yeah.
And nothing like a young team that's playing confident and start to believe in themselves. And that's what's happening right before our eyes with Minnesota. Yeah. All led by Anthony Edwards, Ant-Man doing big things.
And I'm talking.
Let's go to the phone lines. Talking Heads.
Hey, who's there, Dottie?
Hey, what's going on, Skilla?
Brady, you better stop. Yeah, the Brady. But you call him the Jordan.
He got the Mamba mentality and the finisher Jordan. You better watch out, Skiller.
Let me tell you what they say about him, right? They were trying to compare him with Kobe. They were trying to compare him with Jordan. But could I tell you, Naughty, didn't I tell you yesterday that the same team here, they got in the championship? I didn't say
I believe
that. He was talking.
You might have said that when we talked quickly yesterday.
Yeah, but you know why I say that? If you look at this team, right? This team was one of the best defensive teams in the league. For some reason, they lose one or two games. Then, you know, everybody is up a bad game every now and again, right?
Yeah.
But everyone say because Rudy was going on his baby appointment yesterday, there was no problem because of...
That team stepped up and played defense all the way around, bro.
See, and you know what you call that? Call that determination. Them fellas is so determined, they put 4 straight. Naughty, you're saying 5. I said 4 straight. If you look at the way that boy is play, what that boy name?
Edwards.
Anthony Edwards, Ant-Man, yeah.
Ant-Man, right? Yeah.
They ain't gonna one could check him.
No.
But watch
this.
They get somebody could check Murray.
Yep.
You know what nigga caused Murray do last night?
Yep.
He threw the damn the
he bad, name down. Yeah. frustration.
So when he named Detroit on the court, now the refs say he only get away because they didn't see him trade.
Yeah.
They didn't see that. Someone had to bring that to their attention because they didn't see it. That's why he didn't get tee up. And, but at
the thing about it is Denver's had an easy way for the last 2 years, walked over the Lakers, walked their way all into the NBA championship last year. Now, the frustration, it ain't as easy as you thought it was. It ain't as fun no more because you're getting beat up, you're getting challenged. So it's rough.
You got everybody's A game and you the champ.
Right.
Yeah.
See, now, what happened is they get a team now with the Lakers. What the Lakers? The Lakers only get to play, about 43 minutes. 43 minutes, Lakers will give you, they lead them games. All them games, you look at it, Lakers is leading all. But when the last 5 minutes come down to the end, that's when the interesting thing. But with this team, they got all out. They get all out players. So at the end of the day, they got the Lakers in
bench scoring.
Right, exactly.
And who isn't going nowhere without no bench scoring?
All right. Don't you, use one, I told you so kind of guy. All right.
And don't you forget it.
But Naughty, I ain't like how you going overtime with them people, them man.
Sometimes we got to go a little overtime, Skiller, for the sake of the country, man. And Grand Bahama, you know, it's important we know exactly what's going on down there.
Listening to y'all, right? Why they trying to figure out, right, Naughty? Don't we have two political parties what was dealing with these people for a little while? How come all of a sudden it's an issue right now concerning with this party, what they trying to do?
The government needs money.
I had a cookie jar low.
So they need that money.
This thing been going on for a little while.
Yeah, but in the past, they were handling it, they were doing, but these people need more money, so they see that bill, they're going after it.
The cookie jar, though, said they're looking for the biggest pocket in the room, man.
Okay, well, anyhow, I won't get into that. I'll go over there.
That's why we's getting to the 4 to 5 o'clock, man, so we're in peace in the 5 o'clock.
Listen, and then you're cutting our sports opportunity.
Don't worry, we can double up. One of these days, we can double up for you.
I can
hear you all talk, and I can listen.
Let me tell you something.
OBJ is what's going on with the Dolphins. OBJ.
Boy.
So we got our three beasts them now.
Yeah, that's the perfect big slot receiver. Perfect.
I give you till week 8 before you on the injured reserve with a pulled soft tissue muscle, a pulled pinky toe.
Listen, you're a hater.
Yes, and don't you forget it.
Well, what about those two rookies wide receivers? One of them a year, they say he clocking 4.3.
That's the running back, not the receiver.
The running back
clocking 4.3. I know that.
4.38.
Yeah, 4.3 or 4.2, one of them.
So you got Hill, Waddle, Mostert, and I always been a mess up.
Mostert, Agent, and now this kid from Tennessee.
And now this kid, yeah.
Right, but I talk about the two wide receivers that we just dropped.
No, they're four. They're four. Low 4.4.
But they still speedy.
Oh yeah, they speedy. They got good speed. Yeah, we got a track team. We got good 4x1 team.
But they was talking about one of them. I forget his name. They was talking about him yesterday. One of the receivers there. What Dolphins pick up? One of them rookies.
And we got these. He's going to be a special teams player. He's going to be, particularly with the new rules with special teams, he should be a great asset to the team.
Who that?
The rookie that you're talking about.
The wide receiver? Or the running back.
Yeah.
The running back, you can see too much time this year, but when y'all get rid of Mozart next year, you can see plenty of action.
Yeah, he might.
He may be the third option because, you know, Wilson may not be the person. You got to see what's going on there.
All right, but still, we got to let you go because I got to get these picks in and we got to get to the break. Mr. Producer, give me the high sign. So tomorrow, make sure y'all call in early so we can do the full 100 thing in the 5 o'clock hour. And your homegirl, Mary Jane, could be on tomorrow, so you could call in and you know, parlay with her. All right, man, we got two big games in the NBA tonight, Pearlie.
All
Well, actually, yeah, two big games in the NBA tonight, and it's all about the Island game. TheIslandGame.com. Simply log on, bet it, set it, and forget it. Check out all the ways to play, all the prop bets, all the ways to play and win. But the Island game always reminds you to play responsibly. All right? Now, Boston and Cleveland, Boston 12.5-point favorites. Listen, Boston has been horrible against the spread all year, especially double-digit spreads. I'm going to take them to win via the money line. But if somebody were to take the Cavaliers with 12.5, they could end up winning some money.
Yeah, but the point is, I'll take Boston and the points, because if they play like they played against the Heat, they can put up points. They can beat double. They can beat these dudes by 20. So I'm going to take Boston and the points. That's winning some money, man.
We'll see. Cavaliers a little bit better than the Heat right now as far as injuries go and so on and so forth. Yeah. Speaking of the Heat got beat. We heard from Muff in 2 days, eh? Muff, you still all right with us, Muff?
Maverick. The Heat get beat and the Marlins get beat. You know, Muff quiet right now.
I like Oklahoma City to win this game tonight. It's -4. I'm going to say they're at home. I'll take them -4, but that's not bad either.
Yeah, I agree. I'll take that. I'll take Oklahoma -4. And if somebody feels good, I'll take Dallas. I'll take Dallas in the points.
I like the Knicks to knock off the Pacers tomorrow night, but I'm going to go the money line. That 5 points is too much. That's a tight series. You could take Indiana in the 5 and do well with that as well. I'm just going to take the Knicks in the money line because they're in the Garden. Yeah. I think they win 2 at home.
And for my good friend Clint, I like the Rangers tonight over the Florida Panthers.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. The Rangers are looking good.
Over the Hurricanes. Sorry, over the Carolina Hurricanes. And I like the Dallas Stars. I like the Avalanche over the Stars.
There you go. But that's how Pearly likes it. And if it's good enough for Pearly, it's good enough for me.
Oh, and lastly, you know, before we go, my girlfriend playing tonight. So check out the New York Liberty. See, I'm split with this one because, you know, the Bahama plays for the New York Liberty, John Quell. But my girl playing for the Sky, so I don't know.
You out of here Thursday, right?
I'm out here tomorrow morning. So
I'll
see you
tomorrow morning.
I won't be on the show tomorrow. I'll probably call in with you on Thursday.
All right, man. Thursday, you might have a replay of Pearly on Thursday, buddy. Don't go there.
Okay.
But you could call in Friday.
All right. Friday.
And you'll be back next week, right? Before everybody start calling me. Hey, Ben Pearly coming back.
I'll be back Monday morning.
There you go. All right. So we'll talk, man. Pearly, have a safe, blessed flight, a safe trip. Enjoy the time with your family. Enjoy, you know, down a Jack Daniels for your boy at some point. Just down it and say this one for the naughty one.
I'm going home, bro. I'm going home to Minnesota.
If you get to go by the Prince Mansion for MJ, go by the Prince Mansion for Mary Jane. That's one of her favorite spots.
If I get the chance, I'll take a picture.
There you go. All right, my brother. Be safe. We appreciate you, man. Enjoy your travels, eh?
All right, brother. Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Flip side of the break. Rich Ice, Colin Coward taking us home, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on Talking Heads. Don't touch it.
Mothers are the heart of our homes, the soul of our memories, and the guiding light through life's journeys. Show your love with a gift from Kelly's House and Homes Mother's Day Sale, Friday, May 3rd through Saturday, May 11th. Enjoy 20% off selected dinnerware, glassware, luggage, silk flowers, and picture frames, except on net items. One lucky person can win a gift basket for Mother's Day. Visit our Facebook page for more information. Kelly's House and Homes Mother's Day Sale, May 3rd through 11th. Happy Mother's Day, all with love from Kelly's House and Home.
This is the National Youth Guard program designed to train young people to help the Bahama Islands in times of disaster.
I decided to join to better serve my country as well as to better myself.
We train to help in search and rescue,
electrical, plumbing, and carpentry.
And things that they can actually expand on in their careers.
Young people who join the Youth Guard program discover a sense of purpose and a sense of patriotism.
To learn more and apply, visit nyg.bahamas.us.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale, and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
These rows of flames are catching a fire.
But I do feel like Ant, we talked about him. And then he shows up and you're like, okay, that may be the best player in the world. I've been hearing this for 5 years on Tatum. All the stars are out of the playoffs, or many of them, and I still think he's like the fifth or sixth best guy. Is that what you're seeing?
Well, so I would, if it's based on these players, that's the argument having Jalen Brunson ahead of him. But also this regular season, you could argue Jalen Brunson, you know, was probably fifth on a lot of MVP ballots. Tatum, fifth on a lot of MVP ballots. Shea was better throughout the year. When I look at it, your list right here, the one guy ahead of Tatum that I would definitively have Tatum ahead of is Donovan Mitchell. Donovan was great in game 6 and 7, but really struggled games 1 through 5, and Donovan's defense leaves a great deal to be desired, so we could bump him up one, but you also could make the argument that you have to bump Shea ahead of both of them anyway. So no, I think that's right. Like, I don't think it is a criticism of Jason Tatum to accurately rate him. And I think the accurate rating of Jason Tatum is the absolute best case scenario is he is the fifth best player in the league. That is the most generous ranking you can possibly give him, because if we're just talking about players overall, you have to have Jokic, Luka, Giannis, Ant ahead of him at a minimum. So at a minimum, you have at best he's 5, and at worst he's 10. I think that, in my opinion, that is the fair tier he drops in. I don't think that's picking on him. I also, though, don't think, maybe I'm wrong, I don't think many people argue he's the best player in the league. I think what they are arguing is he's the best team that they think is going to win the championship. And that usually carries with it a gravity, rightfully so, but that is not always the best player in the league. The last Celtics championship, 2008, the only one that's happened in the last 35 years, Kevin Garnett was the best player on that team. At no point during that season did anyone think Kevin Garnett was the best player in the world. He was, like Tatum, somewhere in that 5 to 10 range at this point in his career. And I don't think Dirk in 2011, while he was the best player in those playoffs, I don't think he was the best player in the world when they won that championship. So that's how I look at Tatum. A great player, a superstar, but his ceiling is not that of the best player in the world, and I don't think it ever has been.
So in the 70s, when I fell in love with the NBA, there was a different team that won every year. Washington, Philadelphia, Golden State, Knicks, Blazers, Sonics. There was no dynasty. And I'm watching Denver last night, who I thought could be the Spurs. And I'm like, all right, last 5 years I've gotten Warriors, Lakers, Raptors, Bucks, Nuggets. And the T-Wolves look significantly better than Denver, and Boston is better. And I thought to myself, did we overvalue, maybe not Jokic, did we overvalue? Certainly did. I thought they had a Spurs feel, and they don't look athletically even close to Minnesota, and Ant's get better. Jamal Murray isn't.
So if I tell you, international player wins 2 MVPs but doesn't break through in the postseason, then finally the year after he wins his second MVP, finally wins a championship, is dominant for those playoffs, and it feels like, well, who's going to stop this guy? I just told the story of Giannis, not Jokic. But now all of a sudden it feels like the stories might be a little more similar, because Giannis, the next year, they looked like they were going to win the title. And then Chris Middleton gets dinged. Jason Tatum, to his credit, has the game of his life in a game 6. They lose game 7 because Boston hits a million threes. They have not been out of the first round since. A Bucks team that looked like they were poised to be the team since they won the title has not played a single conference finals game. The Nuggets looked like the team to beat all year, and now all of a sudden are facing an 0-2 hole, just got absolutely dog-walked in their building in a must-win game when the other team's best defensive player wasn't there, and you start to ask some really tough questions. We always assume the team that just won is going to just keep winning, but to your point, it actually hasn't happened over the last half decade. And so, yeah, I'm not going to act as if the Nuggets are, you know, some wildly flawed team, but I don't think they're going to win this series. And then you never know. When Milwaukee was up 3-2 on Boston as the defending champs, it looked like, well, they, you know, they've got the best player. He's playing great. They're just going to win again. Who's going to stop them? They have not been close since then. And they made a maybe panic trade and remade their team. The other question I have about this series is this, Colin. And I the people are going to say I'm being unfair. But once again, I think I'm the only fair person out there. It, heavy is the head that wears the crown. Is it fair to ask, can we hold Nikola Jokic, soon to be three-time MVP, universally accepted best player in the world, can he be held to at least as hard of a standard as we hold 39-year-old oldest player in the league, LeBron James, to? Can we? Is it fair to say that Joker needed to be better last night in a must-win game?
Yeah.
Is it fair to say that we just watched Anthony Davis score at will in round one, and now in Joker's defense has somehow gotten worse in round two? Every other guy who has been up to this point, LeBron, Durant, Steph, those guys, Giannis, when they all of a sudden have not shown up in the playoffs, if that has happened, they have gotten crushed. And even if they have shown up, but they lose, they have been harshly criticized. The discussion surrounding Jokic this year has been, is he going to run down Shaq, a key bird in the all-time rankings? Well, then he better be masterful over these next 10 days, because this is a really tough one to swallow right now.
You know, it's interesting. Sometimes the media does this. They're trying to offer protection for somebody that doesn't need it. Mike Conley said, yeah, he looks like MJ to me. And I read these media people, whoa, slow down on the comps. That's not fair. Oh, he's literally saying, I want to dominate KD, and did. He plays like him. He's vertical. He's aggressive. He's a good defender, maybe better than good. He has now, like Jordan, become really efficient, almost more so in the playoffs than the regular season. And I watch him, and I'm like, oh, this mid-range game, the fall-away stuff, it's like the trash talking. Yeah, it's like Dominique or Michael, but it feels more Michael than Dominique. I trust his jumper more. I don't think he needs protection. Kobe leaned into the Michael stuff. Tiger leaned into the Jack Nicklaus stuff. Like, I'm okay saying, I'm not saying he's going to be Michael aesthetically and everything, but that's got an MJ feel to it, yeah. Does not?
Oh, well, listen, there's a lot of similarities, but to be fair to both players, there's a lot of differences. Obviously, Michael, 6 rings, 5 MVPs. Anthony's got a long way to go. In Anthony's favor, Anthony's 22 and about to make the conference finals. At 22, Jordan was getting bounced in the Sweet 16. Just to be fair, we're going to be an honest portrayal of the history here. Jordan didn't win his first series till he was 25 years old. Anthony Edwards already got that under his belt. So there's similarities and differences between the two. But Ant's funny because he said 6 hours before this game, stop with the Jordan comparisons. And then he literally did the Jordan shrug. And so I think Ant knows what he's doing.
Yes.
I also think that there's nothing he can do about the fact that their games are, he has a very similar game to young Michael, except with a far better outside shot. Now, there are a lot of ways for him to grow, and we'll see what these next steps are. But the NBA needs this from Anthony Edwards.
Yes.
I love Luka, and I think Luka might be able to. I think there's a world that exists where the Timberwolves Nuggets series ends up being a war, and whoever comes out of it, the Mavericks end up beating. And I think Luka's time to make his first NBA Finals when nobody seems really to be talking about it. I know J-Mac's been big on Luka being the best player all year, and I think that take might end up aging quite well. But as much as I love Luka, and as brilliant as Joker is offensively, right or wrong, the NBA needs one of these homegrown guys to be on that level.
Yep.
and he's the only one that I think can do it.
Yeah.
He's the only 20-something-year-old American player that I think does have best player alive ability.
Yeah, and I think the NBA style matters. It doesn't in the NFL. Brady didn't have a style. He was almost robotic at times. He was efficient. In the NBA, it's more about art. Style absolutely matters. You know, again, it doesn't really in golf, or if you're, you know, big, strong off the tees, cool, but you got to win majors. Ant's got style and flair, and it's fun to watch. I like Luka. It's not as much fun to watch. I like Jokic a lot. It's not that fun to watch. This is dynamic fun. It's good TV. Now, here's the other thing. We were talking about, J-Mac and I were, that you got to be very careful screwing with the Knicks. And I compared it about an hour ago, to a fidget spinner. When the fidget spinner got popular in America, I was like, there's no there. That's not sustainable. There's nothing to it. The Rubik's Cube was kind of mathy. And I'm like, this can't last forever. And I said, the Knicks have become that. I'm like, Josh Hart, this is not what he is. Brunson's not MJ. This team's not this good. And you stop playing guy. I mean, like three Villanova guys scored 92 points. And I say to myself, this is the fidget spinner. We're going to go, this is nonsense. And then I keep watching him and waiting, and it never happens. So what are the Knicks?
Yeah. I mean, a son of a gun to play, man. A team that no matter what happens over the first 45 minutes of action, the game's going to be tied with 3 minutes left, and good luck, man. I mean, that's what it is. Like, NBA Twitter, great, and also does a great radio show on Sirius, Rob Perez, Worldwide Wob, who's a diehard NBA fan, but a Knicks fan through and through. He's been saying it all year. Just like, playing the Knicks, welcome to hell, we'll see you at the finish line. That's how they play. Now, and what Brunson is doing is truly historic.
Yeah.
The guys with four straight or more 40-point playoff games. It's now Brunson, Bernard King, MJ, and Jerry West. Jerry West actually did it six straight times, but he lost a bunch of finals, so I guess he's disqualified from any of the conversations. He's pretty damn good if you read your history books about the league. Brunson also, though, the game before the 40-point streak started, he scored 39. He is their offense. Everyone knows it, and nobody can stop. I think that if they get to Boston, which I think they will, that they are going to be able to deal with Boston's length and the fact that Boston has been likely have been resting for a few days, gone through two easy series, and the Knicks will have just gone through hell to get there playing. I mean, Josh Hart, this playoffs is averaging 47 minutes per game. Does that feel sustainable for four rounds? It doesn't. But they keep winning, man. And Brunson is last night, FanDuel and DraftKings, all the sports books, had his over-under for points, Colin, going into the game. It was an even money bet on either side. He's as likely to go over as under. At 37.5, they went into a playoff game like, yeah, we expect Jalen's going to get 37-38. And the over hit, like, it is... it is remarkable what they're doing, and they have taken on, this is like the perfect Tibbs team. They are as fun to watch as any Knicks team of my life since really the Sprewell Allen Houston 99 team, which I thought was great. They ended up losing in the finals to the Spurs. I think they'll make the conference finals. It would be crazy to pick them over Boston. But man, oh man, I don't think Boston's looking forward to that matchup. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Plus, sometimes being rested, even in the NFL, you think bye weeks are so valuable, and you find out they're really not. If you're hot, young teams want to play the next night. The next New York series would be a lot feistier than I think I would take the Celtics also, in six.
Yeah. But I mean, if it goes six, then all of a sudden weird things can happen. And while you might be right about being rested can be overrated, I think in-game rest could be useful. Just one note to the broadcast partners of the league. When Josh Hart has not sat for a single minute in a week and is playing his ass off on both ends, can we not be like, hey, Josh, Can you give us the between quarter interview? That poor guy is hyperventilating. It's his only time to sit down, and he's like, no, we feel great about this pace. Let the guy rest for a moment.
Yes.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like Olympic coverage. Somebody wins the marathon, and the NBC's over there with a
mic. Yeah, what are you doing?
One continent to the other. Can we give him a break? Great seeing you, buddy. Exactly Nick Wright, first things first. Yeah, Josh Hart is, and it's just crazy because Josh Hart's like double the player he usually is.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.